present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome once again to Just a Minute, and as you have just heard, we have our four regular panelists playing the game this week. No guests, and as usual, I'm going to ask them to try and talk without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject that I give them, and according to how well they do that, they will win or lose points. Let us begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject that EMS has come up to start the show is weather. Something you can take many ways and what we get a lot of in this country, but can you talk on it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, this has been the summer of my discontent. It has been quite the worst one that I can possibly remember because the weather has been so totally appalling. Last year, I happened to be in Australia with some very dear chums, and I said, you must come to this sceptred isle during the month of June because the weather is then at its absolute perfection. They arrived to stay with me on the 2nd of that month, and ever since then, with hardly a day passing.
Yes, I think there was a hint of hesitation there.
He hesitated just before he said month for the second time. I think that was a reasonable point to hesitate. Yes.
That's right, but he challenged for hesitation. He was running a bit out of steam there.
I didn't think I was at all.
I think. So yeah, maybe it's a little harsh, but I have to occasionally make those difficult decisions. And Kenneth, you have the benefit of the doubt with 34 seconds on weather starting now.
You could have a bell weather, or, as Shakespeare said, weather, 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Or to take arms against the
steel puppet
and
the
opposing
challenge.
End.
But, Kenneth, I'm sorry. I'm interrupted. Do you want to take a bow for the histrionics and I'll say what
are you stopping me for?
Because Peter Jones challenged you.
Yes. Oh, he would.
I don't think this half-hour slot is a suitable one for him to play Hamlet in.
And you were challenged for hesitation after
deviation.
Deviation? What?
Well, after about two verses of it, he left that subject.
Of weather, yes. Yes. The subject of weather
the
and...
The whole speech about whether to suffer or whether you don't suffer. What? Don't you agree?
No, it isn't. It ought to take arms against the sea of troubles.
Well, that's still an option. Open to you, quick.
Oh, there's the rock.
Or in that sleep of death, what brings they come?
I think, actually, I agree. You were not, I think, discussing the subject of weather in whichever way you take it. So this time...
Well, you are a very good chairman, so no one could fault you. No one.
So,
I mean, he knows his own mind, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I have to with you four, yes. I must say. So, there are 19 seconds for Peter Jones on weather starting now.
In this country, we are not prepared for extremes of weather. And that does seem to me what we get most
Clement
of.
Freud is challenged.
I just want to say hello.
Well, hello.
And he hesitated.
No, yeah. I didn't.
Ah, he didn't.
Only
he
when
didn't.
You buzzed.
Well, it's nice to hear from you, Clement. It's always nice to hear from everyone in the first round, so all our listeners do know that you have all arrived, but I disagree with that challenge, so Peter gets another point for an incorrect challenge, keeps the subject of weather, and there are 13 and a half seconds starting now.
We get the statistics on the radio and television and in newspapers all the time, describing how much worse the weather has been this day, week, month, or year than any other time.
Ian Messiter blows his whistle. It tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was Peter Jones. So he is in a commanding lead at the end of the first round. Peter, I'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject is a ferret down my trousers. I don't know whether it's an experience you've had, but would you try and talk on the subject in just a minute, starting now?
I don't know whether Zeffirelli or John...
can't remember his name.
Derek.
John, but we'll never know the rest.
We'll never know the rest.
Well, you may. I may get it back.
You never get it back. So, Derek, you got in, and there are 55 seconds left. A ferret down my trousers, starting now.
Rather an intimate thought, isn't it, Rally? You've got a little ferret crawling up and down your trousers, moving from one side to the other, nestling, maybe even occasionally hibernating. One doesn't know. But to have a ferret down my trousers... But
Peter Jones has challenged.
He said one doesn't know. Surely he must be incredibly insensitive. Isn't he?
I would agree with that challenge, and I think the audience applause endorses...
Is that a new challenge, lack of sensitivity?
No, it is the oversensitivity which makes me agree with Peter Jones and tell him he has 41 and a half seconds. A ferret down my trousers, starting now.
Schlesinger, I was going to say, or Richard Attenborough. As far as they're concerned, I could be starving to death because I'm never in any of their films. I'm reduced...
Kenneth Williams' challenge...
What has this got to do with ferrets down your trousers?
Absolutely nothing, as far as I can make out, and certainly he hasn't established there's any connection yet, so I agree with your challenge, which is deviation.
Aren't you getting me an opportunity to establish a connection?
Well, you have to get in there more rapidly and establish the connection, otherwise I have to make the decision that there is no connection, because you haven't actually given us one at this point.
Oh, we've added a list of film directors. And so they didn't offer you any parts.
Yeah.
So, Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. 32 seconds are left. A ferret down my trousers, starting now.
This is practiced in the country when men do put the animal in their clothing and apparently they're able to control themselves all the while. Nobody says that jumping about with irritation, nor do they say, like Nimmo seems to be implying, that there's some sort of gratification to be obtained. I would dismiss the whole thing.
So Kenneth was speaking as the whistle went, gained another point, and he is in second place now behind Peter Jones, followed by Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud in that order. And Kenneth, you begin the next round. The subject, the chair. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
At all the council meetings I attend, you must defer to the chair. And at an AGM, which I am not likely to forget... There was a challenge by Dulcie Gray, who rose and said, Mr. Chairman, there is no paper in the ladies' lavatory. Then a cry went up, this is holding up the motion. And then, that was relevant. And on the other hand, the chair that I most adore is to be found in the house of Samuel Johnson in Market Square, Litchfield. I almost sat in it, and an usher appeared. Not allowed, I was told. So I had to stand back and simply admire, because the stability of that piece of furniture actually suggested the grandeur of Johnson.
Well, the audience applause rightly endorses your...
Now, I've got another mark. Got another mark.
Yes, you get a mark.
And so I've gone in the lead.
Speaking,
in the lead.
Not yet.
Well, where am I?
I'll tell you in a moment. You get a point for speaking when the whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted,
yeah,
for keeping going without hesitation, repetition, or deviation,
yeah,
and you are in second place.
Oh.
And that is, no, I think that's the first time that somebody's gone for one whole minute when we've had the four regulars playing, because it is much more of a needle match. So well done, Kenneth, but Peter Jones is one ahead of you, and Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud follow, and Derek, will you begin the next round? The subject, Derek, Monsters of the Deep. Can you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
I suppose the largest monster of the deep must be the sperm whale, which is about 65 feet long and weigh some 33 tons. And then that is, of course, the largest mammal
Peter Jones
in existence within the...
I think he's running at the wrong speed.
I'm trying not to leave any gaps.
He's running at a Kenneth Williams speed, which, but not a normal. No, I agree.
Oh,
you were running.
Hear that, Kenneth?
What's abnormal about Kenneth?
Dig in at you there.
That's a bit nasty, I thought.
Well, I must say he was deviating in the sense that he wasn't running at the normal Derek Nimmo speed, so I am going to give the judgment to you on that one, Peter, and say that you have 36 seconds to take over Monsters of the Deep, starting now.
It sounds like the title of a film, doesn't it? To do with electric eels and those ghastly skate things that are wriggling about on the lower part of the sea or ocean. And they film them, usually using rubber pipes.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of film.
Yes.
No, I said no, films.
It sounds like
one of those films.
Sounds like a film. Film. They film them.
Sounds like one of those films.
One of those films. That.
Yes, he did say film.
Yes. Right. Yes. Right.
Yes. So,
quite right.
You have another point, Peter.
That's a wrong challenge.
Wrong. Yes, incorrect challenge. And you keep the subject and the 21 seconds starting now.
Usually, there's a beautiful woman, something to do with it, and the tentacles of this creature.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation.
No, he didn't hesitate.
No,
not at all.
Wrong challenge.
No. 15 seconds are left for you, Pete, on Monsters of the Deep starting now.
And she's screaming, or at least sending bubbles up to the surface. And then a big, strong man dives in and swims down and saves her in the nick of time, much to the pleasure of this damsel who's in...
With all those efforts to challenge Peter Jones, they all missed the fact that he said usually three times.
Ah, but you wouldn't want to pick someone up when they're going so beautifully, would you?
I don't know. I didn't think there was anything particularly remarkable about
it. Oh, it was fabulous. All that damsel with these tentacles round her. And this great fella with all these sinews coming in. Oh, yeah, that was very good. I was quite turned on. I was quite honest.
Well, I suppose it takes everybody, you know. You could be turned on by a tentacle. I mean, I don't know. But, Peter, you have gained a number of points in that round. You've increased your lead. You're way ahead of Kenneth Williams, who's in second place. And for once, Derek Nimmo's trailing, and Clement Freud has yet to score. Clement, the subject is hot air. There are 60 seconds, as usual. And you start now.
If you get the eldest son of an earl, baron, viscount, duke, marquis, or prince, and put him into a saucepan with tarragon, coriander, black and white peppercorns, onion, leek, and a sufficiency of water, boil for several days, you will get hot air, one of the great cannibalistic dishes known in Papua New Guinea and other parts of Australasia. There are also balloons which you can fill with helium, which are called hot air as such, and float up into the universe where the colors shine in the rays of sun. In the evening, I have frequently, on the Norfolk Downs, the Broads, and also in the Pennines and in Cumberland, watched the hot air rise over the heather late at night. And my wife...
Kenneth Williams.
Yes, I thought it was just juddering to a halt.
No, well, I think that was magnificent, the way he kept going.
The fact there aren't any Norfolk Downs.
There are when he's there.
Anyway, I thought it was a wonderful lot of hot air, and you did magnificently for 55
But he was actually watching it during the night, you know, rising.
Yes.
Well, the night can begin quite early, and it's still daylight some places.
And hot air, you can actually watch it rising.
The hot air was in the balloons. He'd established that. I thought it was magnificent. I was like Kenneth Williams. I was carried away.
I wish you were.
They only asked me to be on the show to give them cues for their gags. Right. Kenneth, you have a correct challenge with 6 seconds on hot air starting now.
Well, it is talked by some people when they're rather vapid and going on a bit.
So, Kenneth Williams speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, another in the round, and he's moving up on our leader, Peter Jones, and Peter also begins the next round. Peter, the subject is rain, which you can interpret many different ways, of course, but will you talk on that word or that subject starting now?
We've had a lot of it this summer, and I suppose it probably, if it starts raining this evening, it'll come down on this magnificent roof, which is protecting us from it. So we shall remain dry. There are five wonderful chandeliers.
Derek Nimmo's challenged.
Doubly wonderful.
Yes, that's right.
Did I say wonderful twice?
Yes, I'm afraid you did, Peter, yes.
Dreadful.
So there are 43 and a half seconds for rain with you, Derek Nimmo, starting now.
Rain, Countess Spencer, is one of the people I most admire. Daughter of Barbara Cartland. I saw only this last Saturday sitting at Althorp with the cash register, clocking in the paying customers at £2.50 a time. Johnny standing just behind, waiting to see how many gallant members of the paying population happen to wander through their ancestral home. Rain.
Peter Jones has challenged.
He stopped talking about rain.
And was on to the ancestral home of Althorp.
I thought so.
Yes, and I agree, Peter. So you have another point on the subject with 19 seconds starting now.
So in the event of a cloud burst, it'll gush down off this roof through the pipes.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of roof.
Yes, you mentioned the roof before, Peter.
I did, yes.
Yes, that's right. So Clement has got in with 14 seconds on rain starting now.
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven, is what Shakespeare wrote in a play whose name I could remember but will not mention because it takes time to wonder which particular theatrical...
Clement Freud got points in that round and is moving forward and is with Derek Nimmo in third place behind Kenneth Williams, and our leader is still Peter Jones, and Kenneth begins the next round. Kenneth, Michael Faraday, will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Michael Faraday is one of the great men of England. Probably, you know, he'd never have achieved the opportunity at the Royal Institution had it not been for Humphrey Davy appointing him as assistant. Well, then came the extraordinary discovery of the dynamo. He invented the prototype generator, which made possible all kinds of things, including electrical machinery in industry. Well, what a leap forward because of one man doing for that realm what a Fleming does for penicillin. You see, and what Magnus Pike.
I think that round of applause was because this, on that occasion, it should have been television, because Kenneth was going with such further that he was illustrating with dramatic gestures what he was saying and thought he looked like Magnus Pike, who waves his arms in equal fashion. But he obviously deviated and hesitated, and Derek Nimmo got in, and there are 13 seconds, Derek. Michael Faraday started...
A grateful nation gave to Michael Faraday at the age of 43 a pension for life and a house at Hampton Court. Kenneth Williams is nudging 60. He has been given none of these things. Why, I ask...
So Derek Nimmo speaking, the whistle went, got the point, and a round of applause, because they all want Kenneth to have his pension.
It is no good, you know, this minute thing, because, I mean, Faraday is fascinating. I mean, son of a blacksmith, to rise those dizzy heights, I mean, and to become such an academic and such a brilliant man. Every lecture, people said, you know, the experiments and the chat just held them enchanted. You really shouldn't put those subjects down for 1 minute. It's much more than a minute, isn't it?
Yes, but this isn't just a scientific minute. It's called just a minute in which we have any subject.
Well, he thinks it should be just a half hour.
That's right. That's right. Then you'd get more guts in the thing, you see.
Yes, and a lot more boredom sometimes, too. But anyway...
Imagine me talking about a ferret up your trousers. Half an hour.
I mean, the mind boggles.
And not just the mind.
Not just the mind.
Oh, hot air for half an hour, any of them.
Yes.
No, Kenneth, nicely said, but I think just a minute will do for this particular game. And we're back in the game with Derek Nimmo to start on the subject of Venice. 60 seconds, starting now.
The most divine of cities, La Serenissima. One approaches it first, if one is most fortunate, I think, these days, by the Orient Express. As you pull into the station, there's a lovely barge to take you across the canals to, of course, the Cipriani. Where else would you possibly, could you, want to stay?
Peter Jones, a challenge.
The Daniele.
For those who don't know, they're both most attractive places in Venice. So what is your actual challenge?
Well, he was just droning on about this place. And he said there was a bar and everything. That doesn't seem the thing that one would want to hear about.
A bar?
Oh, I misheard it then. It wasn't too clear.
I must say he was going very slowly. But last time I actually gave you the benefit of the doubt when you challenged him on going slowly. This time, to make it fair, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. But he mustn't really alter his style and go so slowly, because I can't make the judgments otherwise.
No,
so
it's too difficult. Too difficult. It's too difficult.
Too difficult.
I'm as extraordinary
as the bell. 40 seconds, starting now.
Oh, this extraordinary lagoon in the Adriatic. The people came fleeing from the Vandals and the Goths and the Visigoths, is the hyphenated word. And there they sought sanctuary amongst the reeds and the marshlands and built this extraordinary city comprised of canals, which brought to it eventually the great painters of Europe. And for 700 years, Venice rule the Mediterranean as far as Naxos, which I know Mr. Kenneth Williams has been to, the Cyprus itself, all across that blue sea was controlled by the Venetians. The Doge of Venice was one of the great emperors of the world, and yet, of course.
Well, Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and when he gets into the Derek Nimmo style, then we know...
Dramatic change.
A dramatic change, yes. And how good he is when he's speaking as Derek Nimmo and not as someone else. So, Derek, let me give you the score. Yes, Derek's moved forward. He's one behind Kenneth Williams, just ahead of Clement Freud, and Peter Jones is still in the lead. And Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, Pluto. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Pluto was one of my favorite Walt Disney characters, along with Mickey Mouse, Minnie, and others whose names I cannot at this moment recall. It's also the mythological name of Pluto, of plutocracy.
And Derek Nimmo challenged. Hesitation? Yes, he did hesitate. Derek, you have 46 seconds on Pluto, starting
Pluto,
now.
Pluto, son of Saturn, brother of Neptune. Why we think about him today, very often, you know, because of the war. Because you remember P-L-U-T-O, that was the pipeline under the ocean, which went across under the channel during the war from 1939.
Repetition of under.
Yes.
Absolutely right. Yes, well,
yes.
Listen.
Yes. So Peter Jones comes in on the subject of Pluto with 29 seconds to go, starting now.
It was G.K. Chesterton who said, tradition is the democracy of the dead. And since democracy...
Clement Freud has challenged.
You can't have too much democracy, but he has repeated it.
In just a minute you can if you repeat it. You're right, Clement. There are 20 seconds on Pluto, starting now.
Pluto was a very good friend of Midas and stood for everything that the conservative bride...
Kenneth Williams.
Well, I thought there was hesitation there.
I think you're right, Kenneth. And you are now going to talk on Pluto.
I was talking to somebody.
With 13 seconds to go, starting now.
Well, Pluto, you see, in Greek mythology, is supposed to appear as this dog and drags Eurydice down with him into this appalling abyss. And this poor boy cries out...
Well, Kenneth Williams was then speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and has gone forward, but not enough to beat our leader. But let me tell you, unfortunately, we have no more time to play the game.
Ah.
Ah. For once, and surprisingly, Clement Freud, who does so well in Just a Minute, finished in fourth place.
Ah!
A little way behind another of our panelists who does so well, Derek Nimmo. He was in third place. Ah! And ahead of him in second place was someone who occasionally excels with points, but always with his verbosity and impetuosity and talent, Kenneth Williams. But our leader and winner for a change. He took the lead at the start. He retained the lead with style and panache to the end. And this week, our winner is Peter Jones. Audience, this applause shows that they enjoyed you winning, Peter. And let me tell you, we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkins.